It's time now to talk motoring with our motoring man, Ernest Page. And a reminder that Ernest is a retired stunt driver and motoring journalist based in Cape Town. He has a successful YouTube channel and a Facebook page called Performance with Page. And you can also catch him on Ignition TV, and that's on channel 189 on DSTV, where he does car reviews on the latest vehicles to hit the local market. And Ernest, I must say, I feel very, very sorry for you today. Shame, it must be very difficult being out there in Stellenbosch at the Porsche event.
Oh, Amy, I tell you what, the days there are tougher days, there are worse days than this. And all this, I've been listening to some of the ads and stuff that you guys are playing. You talk about wine farms. I am at the wine farm at the moment with the Porsche South Africa celebrating 20 years of Cayenne. And yeah, unfortunately, I'm driving today. So I have to watch everybody sip on their delicious wines of Viet Uvermere. But I'm not upset about that because it's great to be driving an icon, be driving some of the old Porsches. And as a motoring journalist, I know this sounds weird. I often drive new cars, but sometimes it's nice to do sort of a heritage drive and drive something slightly older. And the Porsche Cayenne was in fact one of the first performance SUVs that started the trend of everybody driving performance SUVs these days. So it really is, it does feel like taking a step back and the D today with the weather that we're having as well.
Oh, Ernest, we lost you for a moment there, so the line broke up. I'm hoping that we're going to be able to establish a more or a better line with you, but let's just try and push ahead in any case. Horrific saying push ahead in any case. Okay, so the first news item that you've got for us today is about the French car maker Citroën and their rebranding. I've got to say, I do love the French car brands. I find them so sexy.
Oh, yes, indeed. And French cars are so interesting because they do so well in Europe. They're like city golfs in Europe. Everybody drives a Citroën or a Peugeot. But in South Africa, the uptake hasn't been that great. Lately, they've revamped their lineup in South Africa over the last couple of years. And if you've ever driven a Citroën, you'll realize that they do make good, comfortable cars. The cars are very, very comfortable. So it's interesting to see them rebrand in Europe, but they are still one of the best-selling cars in Europe. And this is just another trend of them trying to make sure that they stay relevant, of course. And I would suspect they're also going to be releasing a slew of electric cars in the coming months as well.
Did you say electric cars, Ernest?
Yeah, yes. Yeah, that is where the trend in Europe is going at the moment. The industry, especially that part of Europe, is heading very much towards electric cars. And I suspect they are now gearing up to sort of change direction in that sense that or electric mobility to be confronted. What better way to do that than a slight rebrand that we've seen on their budget?
Well, Ernest, I feel like we actually can't have a car conversation anymore these days without electric vehicles coming into it. It's something that every single motor manufacturer is working on or escalating, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. But having said that, though, I do think that's the best market for that. I spoke to someone that was quite knowledgeable on this topic, and I'm still busy figuring this problem out myself. But I think what we're going to see into electric and kind of now for a little while still, maybe a couple of hybrid cars coming in over the next couple of years. But later down the line, yes, it certainly is. If things continue as they are, it's something that's going to be unavoidable. And you and I will be talking electric cars almost every single week on the show.
Ernest, let's go to your second news item now and talk about Toyota ending production and sales in Russia, the latest in a string of companies to cut ties with Russia.
What? Yeah, this is such an interesting one. And the bigger economic impact of this is still yet to be seen. But what's interesting is the opposite is happening in South Africa. Toyota in South Africa is ramping up production here. They've got international support. You know, we've had the flooding in Durban. But in Russia, it's a completely different situation. They had supply chain issues there. Getting things into the country has been difficult. Getting things out of the country has been difficult. And now Toyota has made the call to stop production completely. And this is not something we see happen often. And I'll be monitoring this story closely to see how this affects things going forward. Because, yeah, is this going to be the kind of thing that gets the war to come to a close? Or is this something that Russia has strategically been aware of potentially happening over the last couple of months? It's such an interesting and yet tragic situation, but all we can do is kind of watch and watch it unfold. The good news for the Russians that are working at the plant, though, is that Toyota will be assisting them in placements with other positions and also with the severance packages. So, and Toyota has historically been quite good at that, to make sure that, as example, in South Africa, when the plant was down, they didn't fire one staff member or retrench one staff member. In fact, they made sure that everybody was taken care of. Yes, there might have been some cuts in salaries here and there as there was in lockdown, but they did look after their staff. And I think that's sort of something that goes through Toyota's ethos. But yeah, tragic and interesting at the same time. I'll be, as I said, be watching this one closely, because this could be a sign of bigger things to come and even more sanctions for Russia going forward.
Ernest, what happens then to Toyota's entire infrastructure in Russia? I mean, they must have huge warehouses, buildings, vehicles, etc. What happens to all of that?
Can you imagine? They are currently busy selling those off. They are literally not going to be selling cars. They're exporting cars. They're producing cars. They're none of those things. So this is a mass exodus as we've not seen in recent times. So it's kind of unprecedented in that way. So, as I said, we're just going to have to wait and see how it goes out. But they are currently selling off all their assets in Russia. And as I said, it's a very strange and interesting turn of events.
Sure. Okay, Ernest, before we talk about the Isuzu that you're driving, I'd like to just put it out to the listeners that if they do have car questions that they'd like to put to Ernest, now is the opportunity. You can send us a WhatsApp on 0725671567 or give us a call on 021-446-0567. We've only got Ernest with us for another 10 minutes or so, so don't miss the chance to send your car questions into him now. Ernest, you lucky fish driving that nice big bucky all week. It must have been fun.
Oh, yes, indeed. And this is a bucky that you can get for under 600,000, which is a great price point for a bucky like this. The Isuzu LX is what it's called. It's the D-Max. I have the double cab in red, which looks kind of cool, rear-wheel drive model. So it kind of looked like a 4x4. So you get all the street cred of driving a 4x4, but without the fuel bill, because this one comes with a 1.9-liter TDI engine, which is very economical. And what I've been looking at recently is cars like the Mercedes C200, for example, is a luxury car with good economy. The D-Max, although it's a complete opposite type of vehicle, it's a capable bucky with good economy. So you get the credibility of driving a very cool-looking double-cab bucky, but it's not 4x4, and it's quite economical. And I think in the current climate, we're going to be seeing a lot more of these type of cars where they come fully specced with the bars and the bash plates and, you know, the big wheels and all of those fancy things that make them look cool. But at the same time, they are economy powerhouses, and you don't have to break the bank to fill the tank, so to speak. So I think we're going to be seeing a lot more of an uptick. And I also spoke to some Isuzu owners to try and understand, because I'm not an Isuzu bucky guy. I would more than likely get something a bit more comfortable, something a bit less, shall I say, agricultural, you know, something a bit more road version, like a Toyota bucky or something. But after speaking to some Isuzu drivers, and I actually spoke to one guy at the robot, he had 460,000 kilometers on his Isuzu, and it hasn't skipped a beat. So I asked him, why Isuzu? Because I told you, I'm a Toyota guy. Why would you get an Isuzu? And he says, because he trusts the brand and he knows it's never going to let him down. Now, the same can probably be said for many other buckies and cars. But Isuzu has, in South Africa, proven itself to be quite indestructible. You know, so I do think South Africans are going to like the new one, because it's a bit more comfortable. It's a bit more of a leisure bucky, but at the same time, it offers that same die-hard ability where you can do 400,000 kilometers, as an example, and know that the bucky will be able to do that.
Yeah, so my husband currently drives a Ford Ranger, but he drove in an Isuzu bucky when I met him, and he drove it for years and years and years. Also, it also had over 400,000 Ks on the clock, and every time we stopped and filled it up, we'd have guys asking if he wanted to sell it, because they'd love to buy it. I think that thing would have run forever if he'd continued driving it. So they do last a long time, but what is it that makes them considerably less expensive than their competitors, because the Fords and the Toyotas are so much more expensive in the same sort of range?
Yeah, exactly. When it comes to the entry-level ones, Isuzu is very competitive. When it comes to their top-spec models, there's a bit more price parity, and I think the value proposition is a better one when you're looking at a slightly more entry-level Isuzu Bucky versus the top-spec one. There, I definitely think a Ford Ranger or a Toyota would probably be better because the leisure aspect would be more important there. But when you're not looking at leisure, when you're looking at utility, when you're looking at getting a crew cab, for example, the club cab, for example, getting those tax benefits, getting those VAT benefits, and the man on the street sort of workhorse type of vehicle, then that's what the Isuzu sort of sells itself as. It's developed in South Africa for South African conditions. The suspension is tested in South Africa. The tires are specifically designed for that car. So it's definitely got a South African flavor to it. And even the Japanese Isuzu themselves know that the African market is a huge market for them. So they put a lot of emphasis in making sure that it's a good car. Yes, the current model has been available overseas for a long time, but it did take some time to get homologated for South African roads, which they've now done. So yes, it isn't exactly as new as, say, the Ford Ranger will be when it lands in a couple of months' time. But their slogan is with you with you for the long haul, or with you for a long time, something along those lines. I need to check it out. But that's what they do. They stick around for a long, long time. And again, you know, a lot of our purchasing is decided now in this climate for longevity, value, economy. And what better way to save some money in your business by getting a Bucky that's going to cost you under 700,000 rand for a decent spec. It looks cool, and you know it's going to last at least 3, 4, 5 years in your business. So I think that's the appeal of where Isuzu sort of plays. It's not as comfortable as a Ford Ranger or luxuriously appointed inside as some of its competitors, but yeah, it doesn't need to be.
We've got some questions coming in for listeners now, Ernest, from listeners rather. And just a reminder, if you are listening, this is Car Talk, and I'm in conversation with Ernest Page, motoring journalist. And if you would like to ask him a question about any car issue that you've got on your mind, you're welcome to do so now, 021-446-0567 or 072-567-1567. This listener says, hi, please ask Ernest about the new Hyundai Venue and whether its transmission system or hydraulics are problematic, especially when the car is cold. Thank you.
I haven't heard that yet, so I'd be interested to know if this is a sort of circumstantial evidence, or if this is a hearsay, or if it's something that they've seen in the media. Unfortunately, I'm at an event right now, so I don't have access to my computer at this stage. I can do research on that, and if I come up with anything, I'll get back to you. But from what I've heard, I haven't heard anything. Having said that, it is a brand new car on the market, and new cars have been known to have certain small issues in their development cycle. It's normal for any new car to have some sort of problem that the manufacturer will then sort out immediately because they don't want to deal with the bad PR. Hyundai specifically have proven to be quite reliable over the years, and they've got one of the best warranties, or at least one of the longest warranties in the industry at 7 years. So even if you do have an issue with your Hyundai, and it's something to do with something like a gearbox, for sure that should be under warranty still, and it's something that Hyundai should and probably will sort out.
There you go. I hope that answered your question. Ernest, just back to the electric car conversation that we were just talking about a few minutes ago.
The one we're going to be having forever.
have you driven the electric Mini? Because we have listeners wanting to know more about that car.
I have spent some time discussing the Mini with the gentleman that actually brought the car to South Africa, but I haven't actually driven it myself. Mm-hmm. Having said that, it was at one stage the most cost-effective electric car that you can get in South Africa. It was also a car that BMW used to spearhead the electric movement in South Africa because they've got one of the biggest ranges of electric cars in South Africa. So for under 700,000, you can pick up that Mini. Having said that, as good of a car as I've heard it is, I don't think range is going to be an issue because that car would be slightly older at this stage and the range on that car wasn't that great. Having said that, if you're only going to be driving around town, it's not going to matter. If you're going to work and back every day and you've got a charging point at home, it's not going to matter. But if someone is wanting to get into the electric space, it's now the time to wait, actually, because there are going to be so many more cars that will come. I wouldn't necessarily go for something older, but again, it really depends on the use case. If you only need a car that needs to do 100 kilometers every 2 days or 200 kilometers every 2 or 3 days, then definitely there's a use case for it. As I said, my colleagues have said that it's a cool car to live with. It's a cool car to drive. It's the most cost-effective electric car that you can buy right now. So there is that going for it. But more of these cars are coming. So I would say if someone's looking to buy in the next year or two, definitely wait it out. But if you're dying to get behind the wheel of an electric car, go test drive the Mini and see if it's for you. But be aware that there are cars like the X3 from BMW that has got much, much better range. And it's just the overall more modern package. The technology in electric space is developing so fast that each generation is going to be quite a bit better than the previous one.
Ernest, you are spending the afternoon with Porsche celebrating an event at the Cayenne, well, to do with the Cayenne. What is happening in the electric space with Porsche?
Oh, Porsche is very active in the electric space. They've got the Taycan, they've got the Cross Turismo electric car, etc. So they've got a whole bunch of performance electric cars, which they're pushing quite a bit. I've driven a few of them. But I've got to say, for me, the essence of Porsche is still very much in internal combustion. They are leading the way with Audi in certain aspects. But I wouldn't get a performance electric car, to be honest. I would definitely get a performance petrol car in 2022. But that could change by 2025. The cars are getting better. And as I said, yeah, it's a space where every single iteration is quite a bit better than the previous one. So there's going to be a lot of development happening in the space, and I could be eating my words soon. But when it comes to performance cars, I'd much rather get a petrol Porsche 911 GT3.
But that's not going to save the planet, Ernest, is it?
Yeah, exactly. But that's the other debate, Amy. You know, the jury is out on these things. The CO2 emissions, for example, And I mean, this is a complex conversation, but the CO2 emissions that cars produce, it's a percentage of what industry produces. And even when the internal combustion engines disappear, the petroleum companies are still going to be supplying industry lots and lots of fuel and pumping out lots and lots of gases. And then there's the production of electric cars as well. It's still not as clean as it could be. So I'm investigating this ongoingly and talking to industry leaders ongoingly, and I'm still not convinced that electric energy is cleaner. It could become cleaner down the line, and maybe we get even synthetic fuels down the line that are cleaner than the current fuels we're using. So I don't know. The jury's out for me. I'm still digging, and I think I'll be digging for a couple of years still as this situation unfolds.
You'll dig a huge big hole by the end of it all. Ernest Page, thank you so much for joining us, and you enjoy the rest of your afternoon out there in beautiful Stellenbosch.
I will do that. Apologies for the bad signal, folks. Next time I'll be waiting at home for my phone call from Cape Talk. Chat then.
Super lovely chatting. Thanks, Ernest. Just a reminder that Ernest is a retired stunt driver, and you can catch him on his YouTube channel, Performance with Page. You can also catch him on Ignition TV, and that's on channel 189 on DSTV. Also, if you'd like to send us your questions for Ernest to answer next week, you're welcome to do so. You can email them to me at amym@capetalk.co.za, and I'll certainly pass them along to Pippa or to Ernest.